Campaigns for citywide office are heating up this summer. One of the more high-profile races is the one for public advocate. The contest has drawn some of the most well-known politicians in town, but even as they hit the stump, other politicians are slashing the office's budget, arguing that it makes more sense to get rid of it altogether. WNYC's Arun Venugopal has more.
Just how obscure is the Office of Public Advocate? Of the 15 people we asked to identify the current office holder, this is about the closest anyone got.
It starts with an R or something. Something in her name is like R.
There's actually no R in Betsy Gottbaum. But just as no one knew that, no one knew what her office does either. So why is the race to be the next public advocate drawing such big names? The candidates include council members Bill de Blasio and Eric Joya, civil rights attorney Norman Siegel, and the only other person to have served as public advocate, Mark Green. The job description of the public advocate is to serve as the city's ombudsman and as a counterweight to the mayor and council. Whoever wins would also be the first in line to succeed the mayor, should that office suddenly open up. The problem is that the public advocate isn't truly independent, and recently City Hall slashed its budget by 40%. That's prompted renewed discussion of whether the office should simply be shut down. One critic is Curtis Sliwa, the popular radio host, who's also thinking of running.
First thing I would do is padlock the office, fire all the employees, and fire myself.
But there are also serious criticisms of the office from people who embrace the concept. First, it's worth understanding why the office was created. That happened in 1989, when a charter revision commission restructured city government. Eric Lean is a professor at Hofstra University who headed the commission. He says that at the time, Nat Leventhal, a fixture in local government, weighed in on the need for an official critic and overseer of the mayor, the council, and city agencies.
And he always said, it's very hard to govern the city of New York, and having someone out there, even just hurling bombs, you know, was something valuable, because if you look through the criticism, you might actually find some real problems.
But Lane says the commission omitted something that has come to cripple the public advocate's office, a guaranteed source of funding.
Probably we made a mistake by not putting a guaranteed budget in there as we did for the office of the independent budget officer.
In the 90s, under its original office holder, Mark Green, the public advocate was a prominent position in city government. Green and Mayor Giuliani battled with each other on issues such as police misconduct and the city's failure to investigate child abuse claims. Many scholars and government watchdogs say Giuliani's brash style provided the perfect foil for Green and allowed him to generate plenty of headlines prior to his run for mayor in 2001. In contrast, Bloomberg doesn't throw his elbows around like Giuliani, and Gottbaum is a more low-key figure, which has caused her office to recede from the public eye. Doug Muzio teaches at Baruch College.
The consensus is that the office has somewhat atrophied under her, that she is looked at some important things, but has not been the vigorous public advocate that Green was.
Gene Rushinoff of the New York Public Interest and Research Group defends both Gottbaum and the position. He says his organization has frequently turned to Gottbaum's office when it was getting nowhere with other city agencies, and that getting rid of the office would be a big mistake, given that in New York City, the mayor is much more powerful than in other cities. Dick Dady of Citizens Union also thinks Gottbaum has done a good job, but that she's been handicapped by the institution itself.
The office in its current form is not working, and we should not have it continue in its current form.
For Betsy Gottbaum, it's been a struggle in recent weeks, not only to justify the need for a public advocate, but also to defend her style and her legacy. She points to her work increasing women's access to reproductive health services, as well as helping special ed students and victims of domestic violence.
And one of the most important things I've done lately is the office's recommendations, which were done in a report for maintaining mayoral control of the schools, was used as a blueprint by the assembly when it came up with its legislation. I was very proud of that.
Gottbaum says she's just not a fundamentally antagonistic person.
I tried very hard to hold the mayor's feet to the fire. The problem is it's very difficult to do. He has a lock on the airwaves. In addition to that, he has a lock on a lot of money. And so it is difficult to do that. And I'm not a screamer and a yeller.
But Gottbaum was furious when the council cut her office's budget by 40%, so she called a press conference. There, she was joined by the men who were competing to replace her, including her predecessor, Mark Green.
It is absurd that an office that's intended to be a watchdog over City Hall is gutted by City Hall. Since when do speeders ban radar guns or Wall Street cut the SEC?
Despite the strong words, the council did not restore the funding. And the next public advocate will have a budget and staff so small, the office will barely be able to do its job. In a way, Green and his fellow candidates will be struggling on two fronts in the months ahead, trying to become the next public advocate, even as they fight to save the office itself. For WNYC, I'm Arun Venugopal.
In the days ahead, we'll be following up with a look at the candidates themselves. This morning, they'll be debating each other at a forum at the CUNY Graduate Center.